Have your Bibles. We will turn to Daniel chapter 5, the book of Daniel, and the chapter 5. Our text can be found in the verse 6 of this book. It says, "Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him." Troubled thoughts is the theme of our sermon tonight. His thoughts troubled him. Let's unite our hearts in a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the hymn singing. We thank you, Lord, even in the messages of the hymns. We have heard something about Christ, the one who is able, the one who is mighty, and the one who is willing to save on to the uttermost. And Lord, I pray now as we come to your word, that I will pour out thy Spirit upon it, that thou wilt deal with the hearts of the unconverted. That tonight the presence, yea, the Spirit, even the fear of God would rest upon the unconverted. And thou wilt bring them to the Lord Jesus that they might be saved. We ask for help, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the peace of word you've laid upon our heart. And bless it to all here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. One of the greatest empires in biblical times was the empire of Babylon. History records that the city of Babylon was 14 miles square, making a circuit of 56 miles. They tell us that the walls were about 300 feet high and 87 feet wide. And upon these walls, right around, there were 250 towers to serve as guard room for the soldiers. And so we can see this massive wall running right around the city of Babylon. 300 feet high, 87 feet wide, with its 250 towers dotted all around the top in order to guard the city. Outside the walls of the city, they tell us there was a deep and broad moat, like a river right around it, thus preventing the enemies from entering the city. So we can see something of the greatness of the city of Babylon. But not only was it a city of greatness, it was a city that was full of wickedness. And from the very commencement of this chapter 5, we can see something of the wickedness and of the sin that abode in the city at this time. The king Belshazzar, he made a feast, and he invited 1,000 of his lords. And we find here the very first thing we find in chapter 5 and verse 1 about the drinking. They drank wine before 1,000. And the king says, "We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a party. Get 1,000 of the lords. Let the drink flow." And oh, dear friends, we can see these people all inside the city, drinking. And I'll tell you this, where you get drink, you get sin. Immorality was abounding on every hand. The feast was going, the party was going, the drink was flowing. Sin after sin was being committed by this people. It was a city of great wickedness. The feast was also held, as we'll see, when their enemies, the Medes and Persians, had surrounded the city. See, outside the city of wall at this time, the enemy was encamped. Those who wanted to take the city and to take the lives of the people. Would you not think that having a feast would have been the last thing upon your mind? But Belshazzar was so confident. He says, "None can get into my city. None can get over the walls or through the walls. There's soldiers all around," he says here. He was so confident, and so he called a feast. At a very dangerous time, he decided to have a feast. As one commentator has said, he should therefore, like the king of Nineveh, have proclaimed a fast. But as one resolved to walk contrary to God, he proclaims a feast. He should have called a fast. But instead of calling for a fast, instead of calling for prayer, he calls for a feast. He was so confident. He was so confident no one would get in. He defied his enemies. Do you think I'm afraid of you? We'll have a feast. Not only did he defy his enemies, he defied the Lord. Because verse 2 tells us, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels which were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and of stone. And not only did he defy the enemies, he defied God. And he says, bring the golden vessels. Do you remember the vessels that was taken out of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem by my father? Go and get the vessels. And they bring these golden vessels all in, and he says, let's drink now. The holy vessels that was used in the worship of God, he filled them full of wine, and they lifted them, and no doubt they touched each one against the other, and they praised the God of gold and of silver, and they praised their own gods. And he defied the enemies, and he defied God. What wickedness was in this city. Do you see them at the feast now? Do you see the drinking? The laughing. Do you see the mocking? The sinning? The cursing? The dancing? The party, in a sense, is in full flow. Then suddenly the music stops. Silence fills the room. A horn appears. Out of nowhere. And it goes to the wall in front of the king, in front of all these thousand of his lords, and it writes this message on the wall. And the Bible tells us here, the king, as he looked, it says, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. His thoughts troubled him. In a moment he was troubled. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you have no troubles. But in a moment God can speak to you. Troubled thoughts. Do you see him standing there in silence before all of his people? And his thoughts troubled him. And that gives us a subject tonight of troubled thoughts. Can I say, first of all, I want to look at the explanation for his troubled thoughts. What was it that gave this great king of this great empire? What gave him so much trouble? What was it that disturbed him so much? Now let me say some things it was not. He was not troubled because of the forthcoming war. Now we do know that war and battles does bring fear and anxiety to the hearts of people. In Exodus 14, verse 10, tells about the children of Israel. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. Now here's a time out in the wilderness, coming to the Red Sea. And the children of Israel look around, and they see Pharaoh and all his soldiers, and it says here that they were so afraid. They thought about the battle, they thought about the fighting, they thought about the killing, and they were so afraid. And war does make people afraid. But it wasn't the war that was making Belshazzar afraid. No, he was not worried about this war. The Medes and the Persians, as I said, had surrounded the city. They were sitting outside the camp wall. They were seeking to come in to destroy his kingdom. Was he troubled? Was he bothered about them? Oh, he had the greatest confidence in his walls. He had his greatest confidence in his soldiers. His soldiers, well, could fight with the best of them. The soldiers could give him the victory. So it was not the war that gave him troubled thoughts. Was it his want? Was he troubled at the thought that at the feast he could run out of wine? Or he could run out of food? Was he troubled because of this? We think there of the marriage feast for the Lord Jesus was at in John 2 and verse 3. And they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. There was a problem and people were troubled. The ruler of the feast, he was troubled. He looked out and he saw the guests and he saw, well, the wine's going to run out. And he was troubled. Well, was Belshazzar, was he troubled because of a want? No. Commentators would tell us he had much provision laid up for many years. Even now through the siege, there was so much food. For many years, he could have stayed within the walls. And so this was not the reason for his troubled thoughts. Was he troubled about the wickedness of the city? When he looked upon the blasphemy and the immorality that was taking place, the drunkenness on every hand, did this trouble him? No, this didn't trouble him at all. He was the center of attention. He was indulging in every sin of that day. Who was it that sent for the vessel? It was him. Who was it that led the people in the mocking of God of heaven? It was him. He was the one who held the feast. He did not worry about sin. He was not troubled what he saw with his eyes. He was not troubled about seeing the people run into sin. No, he was not troubled. But you know that sin does trouble people. In Psalm 38 and verse 6, he says, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day. And verse 4 tells us why. For my iniquities are gone over my head. David was troubled. He was troubled about sin. He was greatly troubled. But I can tell you, Belshazzar was not troubled about the wickedness in the city. He was not concerned about what was taking place. No, dear friends, this was not the explanation for his troubled thoughts. It was not war. It was not want. It was not wickedness. No, the reason was the Word of God. He was troubled because of the Word of God. The divine Word of God was brought before him. In verse 5 we have said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. This hand came forth out of nowhere. And in verse 24, Daniel says, then was the part of the hand sent from him. So this was God's word. Just one message. This was a message from God. The divine hand of God wrote this message on the wall, and it was a disturbing word. He could not understand it. But it troubled him. And when he was brought face to face with the Word of God, he was troubled. And I want you to notice, friends, this. God did not send an earthquake to trouble him. God could have. God could have shook the whole kingdom and the walls of that great city and of that great empire could have fell down. It was not claps of thunder. It was not flashes of lightning. It was no destroying angel with a sword in his hand. No, dear friends, the only thing that disturbed this man was the Word of God. The only thing disturbed him. His thoughts troubled him face to face with the Word of God. That's what it was. I can see an example of that in Jonah 3 and verse 4 to 6. About Jonah sent of God to preach in Nineveh, and he cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He walks into this city of Nineveh and he preaches to the people. 40 days, he says. 40 days and this whole city will be overthrown. And what happened? Just the Word of God. There was no army behind him. He had a message. He had the Word of a living God in his heart and the Word of a living God in his hand. And it tells us, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Tells about the king. He arose from his throne. He covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. And the people were terrified. And the people were troubled. And what troubled them? The Word of God. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they were all troubled, friends. I'm glad that the Bible that tells me that in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, And it discerneth the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is quick and powerful. And listen, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And here's a man, he's troubled. He's heard the voice of God. Just one word from the Lord comes before him, and it tells us he was troubled. This is the explanation. Many sinners, you know, and come to meetings like this, no troubles. But I tell you this, friends, before they leave, they may be troubled. It only takes one word from God. Like a great torch, the word of light of the Word of God reveals to them their sin. And they see that they're going to die. And they see that they're lost without Christ. And they see that they're on their way to hell, you see. And they're troubled. And they're troubled because of the Word of God. Is this true of you tonight? Are you troubled? Are you troubled, friends, about your sin tonight? Are you troubled about your soul? Do you know that the wrath of God will surely fall upon you? Have you read some passage of the Bible that's troubled you? Maybe you say, I cannot fully understand it. This man could not understand it. But he was troubled. Are you troubled? A message you've heard? One word. Remember before I got saved, one man looked at me in the eye and he said to me this, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm going to ask you the most important question, Noel, that ever be asked in your life. What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he says, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I tell you this, friend, I was troubled. And that's all he had. That was that. And I was troubled for days after it. Are you troubled? C.H. Spurgeon said one time, I remember the time when I dare not go to sleep for fear I might wake up in hell. He was troubled. And here was the explanation for this man's troubled thoughts. It was the word of the living God. And maybe you say, well, I have a concern. I have a trouble in my heart. I have no rest. I have no peace. I tell you this, friends, God can trouble you. Sinner, we were singing. Is your heart troubled? How the heart is troubled. God is coming very near. This was the explanation for his troubled thoughts. The Word of God. But can I say secondly about the experience of his troubled thoughts? And I had to say this, it was a terrible experience. Terrible experience. It says here, and his thoughts troubled him. And then it enlarges what really happened about this experience of this man, this great king who had a great palace and great power and great possessions. What really happened to this man as he was troubled? It was, can I say to you, a terrible experience. His thoughts troubled him. But God begins to show us how he was troubled. How he was really troubled. There was a shaking in verse 6. And his thoughts troubled so that the joint of his loins were loosed. And listen, and his knees smote one against another. This man was terrified. Here is the great mighty king of Babylon, and he's standing before the thousand of his lords and everyone in this space, and his knees is smiting one against another. He's terrified. This is the worst experience he ever experienced in his life. He had fought many battles in the past. The enemy was outside the wall. He never shook. But here's his knees smiting one against the other. Such is the power of these troubled thoughts. And not only was there shaking, there was the crying. In verse 7, the king cried aloud. I hear this voice, and it is the voice of the king. Someone, please help me. Bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. Someone go and bring in the wise men. And he's crying out from the depths of his heart. Somebody please help me. That's what this man is saying. Somebody please help me. Go and get help, you see. And there was the promising in verse 7, because he makes a promise. If anybody could show the interpretation, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be a third ruler in the kingdom. Anyone who can tell me. Doesn't matter who he is. I'll make him the third ruler in this kingdom. I'll put a chain of gold upon his neck. There's this promising. I will pay any price. To the one who can interpret it, the writing on the wall. You see, friends, he was terrified. He was terrified to the sense there was the feeling. Because look at verse 8. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. And everyone came in, one after the other. The Chaldeans and the soothsayers, one after the other. And they came and they stood before the king, and they looked up onto the wall, and they looked at the writing, and they says, I can't do it. I don't know. And the king looked with hope to another man, and he stood and he looked at the writing, and he says, I can't do it. And so one after the other, they all came and they all looked at the wall, and the king looked at hope with every one of them. But they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation thereof. He was terrified now. You can see that there in his changing in verse 9. Then was the king Belshazzar troubled, and his countenance was changed in him. In fact, in three times, verse 6, verse 9, verse 10, it speaks about his countenance being changed. Horror is filling his face. You can see it in him. He's trembling, he's shaken, he's afraid, and his very countenance is changed. And you can see that he's troubled by the expression on his face. It's a terrifying experience. He just looked at him. He was shaken, and his whole countenance told the story of his heart. Friends, that he was afraid. It's a terrible experience that he was going through. And I can say this, being concerned about your soul is a terrible experience. Terrible experience. I read today about a man called Joshua Poole. He was called Fiddler Joyce. I'll maybe tell the young people something about him. Maybe over in the youth fellowship tonight. He was a wicked man. Didn't care about his family. Didn't care when his children died. Didn't care about God. Didn't care about nothing. And it tells us that while he was in prison, because he found himself in prison, that he lifted a Bible in prison, and Psalm 51 in verse 1, he read these words, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And this wicked, wretched man, Fiddler Joyce, he found this Bible in prison, and when he lifted it up, one verse from the Bible, and he was troubled. And he was tormented, friends. And he had no rest of conscience, no rest in his soul, in his heart, in his life. And he paced the floor, and he walked the floor, friends. Terrifying experience to be convicted by the Word and by the Spirit of a living God. Tell me, sinner, are you troubled? But terrible thing tonight, if you're not saved and you're not troubled. Not troubled. Not troubled about your soul. Not troubled, friends, about your sin. Not troubled about the fact that you could find yourself cast down into hell. How terrible that would be. Not to be troubled. Maybe there's some tonight who say, Noel, I'm troubled. I cannot rest. I cannot sleep. I know my life is wrong in the sight of God. I know well I will be lost for all eternity. That's a terrible experience to go through, friends. Each one of us who's converted in this meeting, I have walked that pathway. It's terrifying. Troubled thoughts, friends. You find in this terrible experience it was the revealing of the truth. Because they bring Daniel in, and Daniel had a message. And Daniel was a man sent from God, and he told this man about his pride in verse 22. And now his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though I knew us all this. I knew how God dealt with thy father, Nebuchadnezzar. But thou hast not humbled thyself. Thou art filled with pride. And he tells him about his pollution in verse 23. But thou hast lifted up thyself, well, against the Lord of heaven, and brought in the vessels of his house before thee. And their lords and wives and concubines, they've drunk out of them. And what did he say? Thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord. And that's your sin, isn't it? Maybe that's you in the meeting tonight. You're lifting yourself up against the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, I will do whatever I want to do. And you think with these people, he says, you took the vessels and you filled them full of wine and you filled them full of drink and you've drank before the Lord. Is that what you've done? I'll go my own way, I'll do my own thing, I'll drink, I'll do this, and sin, and all the rest. But listen, this is what this man did. And here's Daniel telling him. This is revealing all about his pride, about his pollution, but lifted himself up against the Lord of heaven. And there are people today who's heard the word of God and the way of salvation, and they have lifted up themselves against the Lord of heaven. Is that what you're doing? Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish, friends, in doing such a thing by lifting yourself up against the Lord of heaven. And Daniel tells him, this is what you're doing. He tells him about his punishment and interpretation of the dream. That when the balance is found wanting, you're going to be destroyed, and the kingdom is going to be destroyed. There was this revealing, friends. And can I say to you, dear unsaved tonight, God's a message for you. Troubled thoughts, come to Christ. God tells us about your sin. Bring the condemnation of the Lord upon you. God tells us about Christ coming into the world and to bleed and to die and suffer for us. The Lord Jesus has done this. What does it mean anything to you tonight, unsaved, about the love of the Lord Jesus? He has died upon the cross and shed his precious, precious blood that he can save you. Oh, this is the message. This is the message of the gospel, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's peace through the blood of the cross. In Colossians 1 and verse 20. The Lord can save you. The Lord can give you everlasting life if you turn to him. And while he had this terrible experience, Daniel told him about the word of God. I want to say to you tonight, if you're troubled, there's hope. There's hope for you tonight if you're troubled. There's mercy with the Lord. We were singing, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give thee rest by well trusting in his word. There's mercy with the Lord tonight. The Lord can see it. The Lord can give you everlasting life. Are you troubled tonight? It's an awful thing to be troubled. Maybe you can hide it. Maybe you have been hiding your troubled thoughts. I did the same, you know. I went to discos and pubs and clubs years ago, and boys, I was troubled. But nobody knew I was troubled. Nobody knew I was concerned about my sin or about my soul. They thought I was the life and soul of the party or whatever. I'm happy in sin and happy in the world. And all the time, I was pretending. Is that what you're doing? Sinner, how the heart is troubled. You can hide it. But God is coming very near to you. He owes mercy with the Lord. He can save you. He can give you everlasting life by trusting in his word. You see, the experience of his troubled thoughts affected him everywhere. Are you troubled? The end of your night of sin, are you troubled? In the middle of the night, are you troubled? When you rise in the morning, are you troubled? You have no peace with God. Thank God you've got troubled thoughts. If you have them, friends, I thank God. May they greatly increase tonight.
For you'll never but see it without troubled thoughts. And his thoughts trouble him.
Can I say last thing very quickly about the end of his troubled thoughts? What end did the troubled thoughts bring? Well, the answer is very simple to this man. In verse 30. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius and the Medians took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. On that night, it tells us here, was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The very night that he trembled. The very day he had the troubled thoughts. Was the night he perished. And I want you to notice that. This was the end of his troubled thoughts, death and damnation. History records how it happened and the kingdom was taken. Because we heard about the security, we heard about the walls, we heard about the soldiers. And this man believed he was secure and there was no way into the city. But how did they get in? Remember I was telling you about the moat that was going around and the gates were shut. They tell us that the Medes and Persians diverted the river Euphrates that ran through the city. They said, well, how are we going to get in? And this river went through underneath the city. It says, if we divert this river, we'll get onto the city. And that's what they did. They diverted the river Euphrates and moved it to another section, and therefore it dried up and they went under the city. That's how they got in. And they came into this city and they slaughtered the people and they killed the king on that night. It says, was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. On that very night, his troubled thoughts ended in death and, dear friends, in damnation. He perished.
Yet he was troubled. And I wanted to learn that lesson. And that is a sober lesson. Just because you are troubled doesn't mean you'll be saved. My spirit shall not always strive with man, says the Lord. God will not always strive with you.
Remember, Felix trembled in Acts chapter 24. He trembled.
But friends, he was lost.
The Philippian jailer, he trembled. He came trembling before Paul and Silas. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. He was troubled, but trusted. He trusted. He was troubled, but he trusted Christ. He turned from his sins and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was not so with Belshazzar. He still had his troubled thoughts. And was lost.
So friend, if you're troubled, it's no guarantee that you'll be in heaven.
It's no guarantee that you'll get everlasting life. This is no guarantee that you'll get right with God. You can be troubled. You can shake. You can be like Belshazzar. His very knees were smiting one against the other.
And still go to hell. You see, you must trust. You must turn from your sin. You must repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. This man is still troubled today. But no hope for him.
He can remember the party. He can remember his sin. He can remember the blasphemy. He can remember how he shook. He can remember Daniel coming in, friends, and telling them about his sin. He can remember it all.
And he's still shaking. But he's shaking in hell. Troubled thoughts doesn't save you. It is a step towards salvation. It's to shake you a little bit. To move you. To Christ. Like a little pin been pricked into you.
Remember we say to Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. God was dealing with.
Is God dealing with you? You're troubled, but not saved. I say tonight, come to Christ. When we wait tonight to put your head in the pillow and say, well, it's well in my soul. You know what happens? I'm saved.
If everlasting life, the blood of Christ has cleansed me, I'm His forevermore, friends.
That's a real blessing, you know. To be saved. Listen, are you troubled? Trust Christ. Do you want to speak with me? I'd be glad to speak with you. Or Mr. Mercer, some of the elders. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time for you to make your peace with God. How long you've kicked against the pricks. How long you've been troubled. How long you've wandered on in sin. How long you've turned your back on Christ. Oh, can I say, come tonight. Here's a man who was troubled. I say at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, he was damned. And that could happen to you, my friend. Troubled thoughts doesn't save. You need Christ. Come and trust Him. Don't listen to the voice of a devil that says plenty of time. Some other time, get right with God. Listen, come and trust Him. Tonight He will save you and give everlasting life. And His thoughts troubled Him. And His thoughts, they troubled Him. May God write His word upon our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we commit into Your hands the things we cannot do. We ask You to save. There may be people here tonight and their thoughts is troubling them, maybe for a long time, and they've put it to one side and they've hid it from their family, hid it from their friends. And yet they're terrified of coming unprepared before Thee. Lord, I pray that Thou would save them, that Thou would bring them to Christ. We leave all in Thy hands. Let none go home tonight without our great Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Take us now out of our homes in safety. In Jesus' name. Amen.